Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
For those that are new, we are in a series called The Armor of God, and simply my mission is this from the Lord, that I'm here to help you walk in some victory over the battles that you're facing in your life, because we've learned that the struggle that we're in, it's not physical, it's spiritual. There's a lot more going on than what we can see in the natural. And so if you got a copy of the scriptures, maybe an app for your on your phone, reach for it and turn with me again to Ephesians 6. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, when are we going to go somewhere else? We're in this passage for the entirety of this series. We're going verse by verse, line by line, baby. And we're going to learn a lot together. And hopefully you have been learning some things from God's word. But Ephesians 6 verse 10 is where I'm going to begin again. And then we're going to read all the way through verse 15. And if you've been with us, hopefully you're starting to get this like deep into your soul a little bit, maybe even memorizing it. Here's what it says. I'm reading out the NIV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on, so you can't keep it in the closet, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, here it is again, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. That was 2 weeks ago. That's the first piece of armor. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place. That was last week. That was when I was rocking that bulletproof vest, y'all. And then this week, verse 15, the third piece of armor. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're going to talk about some good news shoes today, and we're going to have a lot of fun before you celebrate Father's Day with friends and family, but also we're going to learn a lot together. Would you bow your heads with me in this room, and if you can, safely online. If you're listening to this while you're driving, don't you dare bow your head, but you keep those eyes open. But in the room, would you bow your head, close your eyes with me? Let's pray, make sure our hearts are ready. God, we love you so much, and what a special day it's been. So proud of this church, your church, God, this house, and what you're doing. So grateful for men and women that make your house a priority. So grateful that they don't just show up, but God, they're here to participate and be involved and lean in. And even so many children being a part of the festivities today. It's just awesome. And so God, we celebrate and we honor dads in this house. We can't speak for other places or other people. But God, here at this church, your church, we celebrate and honor them. We know they're not perfect, just like no dad is perfect. But we thank you, God, the perfect one, that you enable and you empower men to be great examples and to lead families well towards you. And so we celebrate, we honor them. God, we also celebrate Juneteenth, which is also today, and that great proclamation of the end of slavery here in Texas, our great state. We're so grateful for that as well. And of course, above all, above everyone and anyone and anything, this church, your church, will be all about, most importantly, celebrating you, King Jesus. You are great. You are greater, you are awesome, you are more than enough. And we look to you not just on Sundays, not just once a week, but every single day. You are our strength, our Savior, our Lord, and we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it with me, would you say amen? Come on, would you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good news shoes. You know this, I want to have some fun kind of at the top here, but you know this church, that nowadays in 2022, there's a different type of shoe for every specific occasion, right? Like you got dress shoes, you got work shoes, you got individual sports shoes. Some of y'all are sneakerheads and you got shoes you don't even wear. Like you wrap them in saran wrap, right? Shrink wrap, and you put them in your closet and you post about your shoes on social media. You know who you are. Cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars and you don't even wear them once. You got shoes for different occasions, every single thing. And I thought it'd be fun to get this Father's Day, and I hope you'll participate. It's a lot more fun when you do, okay? But I thought it'd be fun for me to show you a few pictures, and y'all just follow my lead in the back. Y'all are awesome, and we'll show this online. But as I give them the cue, we're going to show you a pair of shoes, just a few of them, one at a time. And when you see that pair of shoes in the room and online, I want you to shout out what type of shoe it is, and also, or either you could shout out this too, like what you do with that shoe, what the shoe is for, okay? It's gonna be real simple. I'm not trying to trick you or anything like that, but you can shout at me, like, let's have some fun, okay? Unless you're watching the U.S. Open, there's not a lot of sports stuff going on today, and so you can cheer and have some fun in the room. So when you see the shoe, yell out what it is, what it's for. Show the first one in the room and online. I'm not trying to trick you, I promise. You're like, that's just a golf shoe. I thought that would be easier, okay? There's a lot of golfing happening like this weekend, right? I mean, it's a million degrees outside, but it's Father's Day, you know? And so if you haven't golfed, maybe you're going to golf later today. Here's the next one. Show it, shout it out, what it is. Thank you, Pastor Tony. I appreciate you. She saw the slides before. She knew. Y'all didn't know this about your pastor, but I used to take some That's a lie. You're like, sure. I know you did. Awesome, right? This next one. Shout it out when you see it. Combat boots. I would have taken military, shoes. And these are the real heroes, right? Some of y'all have these, and you didn't even, go into the military. But you're just representing. You got steel toe, and you don't even need steel toe. And so you got the combat boots, the real heroes. This next one I hope you'll shout real loud about. We are here in Houston, home of the rodeo show. The next one. Howdy. Yeehaw. Yeehaw, man. I got to tell you, I think we have more cowboy boots in Houston than anywhere else in America. I remember my dad, he's in this service. You had snakeskin boots growing up, and he's got a different pair on now of cowboy boots. We got, Isabel, is it all of our kids that have cowboy boots or just one or two? Two of them, two of our three, and so we're representing, okay? I don't have cowboy boots, but maybe somebody will buy me some one day because they're expensive. But anyways, so we got cowboy boots. Oh, here's this next one. You see it? Shout it out real loud. Here, show the next one. What are those used for? Being lazy. That's what those. I just lost half of the audience. Like, is anybody wearing Crocs? You're not afraid? Oh, several of you. Hey, Crocs are like a lazy boy for your feet, just comfort to the neck. They even go into sport mode if you didn't know, you move the flap or whatever that thing's called. And I don't have any Crocs. All of our kids have Crocs. Maybe I need to get on the Crocs train. And so thank you for playing along. Now shoes, they are a dead giveaway of what you're doing. Based on the shoes that someone's wearing, you can tell what they're doing or about to do. And for a soldier, of course, shoes were very important because your life literally depended on them. Now today, I am so excited about this. I am really pumped about this because I was able to get the hookup with some first century Roman soldier sandals. And the reason why is because I need Roman soldier sandals is because back in the Bible time, specifically Ephesians 6, what we read, most scholars believe, and I'm not a scholar, but I agree with them, that as Paul, he's the author, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, that as he's writing Ephesians, and specifically Ephesians 6, he is chained literally to a Roman soldier. And so he's seeing all the different pieces of armor, including the sandals, right there in front of them, and God is showing them how they can relate to spiritual warfare, the spiritual battles that you and I are in. And so again, I'm super excited about this. Like this is a big deal that I got these sandals. I'm gonna show you in a second. They are super rare. You can't find them anywhere except for Amazon. And so I bought these Amazon Prime, just incredible. Thank God for 2-day shipping, Amazon Prime. And so that was all. No, I'm not going to put them on. My wife asked me that earlier. Nobody wants to see my toes on the platform here. And so I've got here, obviously, it's a replica, but it gives you an idea of what Paul was seeing when he talked about these shoes of peace, these good news shoes. And specifically, I want to draw your attention to the bottom of these sandals, and hopefully you can see that online as well. But what they would do for traction to make sure they could have firm footing, because most of the battling, like they weren't hitting a button and some drone flying in the air and dropping bombs back then. You get that. Most of the battle was hand-to-hand combat. So it was critical that you had good footing, that you had good shoes. And so what they would do, and hopefully you can catch it, is they would drive nails into the bottom of the sandals, and then they would obviously cut off the other side, and this would allow them to have traction. And so as they're battling hand-to-hand combat, life or death, these nail ends, the heads of the nails, would give them actually grip into the sand, because y'all know, when you're in a battle, if you slip, it's over. If you're fighting somebody and you're trying to take each other out, if you fall down, you're pretty much going down. You're not going to make it. And obviously, this translates in our context spiritually. Because in the battle that you face, maybe there's a spiritual attack on your marriage or on a family relationship, maybe in your health, whatever battle that you're facing, if you were to slip, if you were to fall down, the enemy, the devil, who is real, has you right where he wants you. And so it's so critical. In fact, it's a theme in Ephesians 6 that you and I would be able to stand firm. You remember reading stand a whole bunch of times? Like, it's a theme that we would be able to have good grip, good tread, to be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And so we need this physically as a soldier, but obviously spiritually as a Christian soldier as we're facing the battles before us. And so I got a couple things I want to give you, things that are really important, some practical application when we talk about the good news shoes. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here's the first one. In spiritual battle, it's so important that we don't drag our feet. Would you write that down? I know some of you are worried I'm going to trip over that, so I'm going to move that to the side. But in spiritual battles, write this down, it's important that you don't drag your feet. How many of y'all know it's not just having the right shoes on, it's using the shoes in everyday life. It's not about, hey, look at me, take a picture of my shoes. It's not you modeling them. You're wearing a specific shoe for a specific purpose. And the way to properly use the spiritual shoes that God has for you is to actually use them not for show, but for work. And one of the big ideas in this passage is that you and I, check this out, hear me loud and clear, we are called to use our feet for walking and to walk into chaotic situations and to bring peace. I don't think you caught it. I'm going to say it again. Your mission from God, one of the big reasons why you're called to wear these good news shoes, the gospel of peace shoes, is you're called not to stay out of those situations. You're called to walk into the middle of those situations and not just keep the peace, but make peace. Y'all hearing me? That issue that's going on in your family, you're not called to stay out of it. You're called to get in the middle of it and not to keep peace. No, don't, Uncle Tom, chill out. You know, no, you're called to make peace, to bring peace with you. When Christ followers get involved in troubled situations, the situation shouldn't get worse. It should get better. That is your calling. And when you get in the middle of it, again, you don't keep peace, you make peace. And Jesus talks about this in one of the Gospels. I believe it's Matthew 5, verse 9. Here's what he says. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. He says, blessed or blessed are the peacemakers. When we get involved, the situation gets better. When we get involved, hope rises. When we get involved, things change because of who we're bringing with us. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ. We are called not to drag our feet, but to use those shoes for a purpose. Blessed are the peacemakers. makers. And so here's what this looks like practically, tangibly, real life application. We diffuse situations. We find common ground in situations. And above all else, we bring Jesus into the situation. That is your calling. That is your commission. That's one of the big reasons why this third piece of armor is listed in Ephesians 6. We are to move, not drag our feet, and to make situations better. We are ready at all times to bring peace. I love how the Old Testament talks about this. Some of you know this passage. Very famous passage, Isaiah 52, verse 7. I'll show you on the screen. You won't have time to turn there. I'm going to read out a New Living Translation. Here's what it says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Maybe you're like me and you are not a foot person. Well, God says, hey, these feet are beautiful. They are beautiful. Beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of what? Peace. And salvation, the news that our God, the God of Israel, reigns. And so this is our calling. This is something you can apply right now. Like, don't have to wait for tomorrow, right now. Where is there chaos around you in your world? Is it with your kids? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your family, extended family? Is it in your neighborhood? Is it at your job with your crazy boss or with your coworkers that are always backbiting and gossiping and just trying to manipulate? Like, where is the chaos around you? And I want you to know your commission from God is not to stay out of it. It's actually to get in the middle of it and to bring peace to that situation. It's who you're called to be. It's what you're called to do. And you may not like it, but guess what? Doesn't change the fact that it's your calling. It's what God has for you. And remember, it's not what you can do. It's about who you're bringing with you. And honestly, and this is the video we showed you before the message, this is why us as a church, knowing that this is our calling to bring peace into troubled situations, to bring the good news of Jesus, this is why we do things like Serve Day. I just want you to know the heart behind it. It's not like, hey, look at us, and so we can put together a video to make us feel better about ourselves or so we can brag about how much we gave away or how much we did. That's not the heart of Serve Day. The heart of Serve Day is, hey, we realize God has given us some shoes of peace that we're to walk into troubled situations and make them better. That we're to bring Jesus into broken places, hurting places. Is anybody with me this morning? Like, this is what we're called to be as a church, people of God, the bride of Christ. We move in. We don't drag our feet and stay stagnant. We get involved. And so I just want to brag on you for a second, Christ Covenant. We got 1 month until Serve Day, a practical application to the Word of God here. We have 1 month, and we already have over 60 people signed up for Serve Day. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. But here's the deal. That's great, but we need more. And so don't sit on the sidelines. We got people that are they work on Saturdays. They are taking off work to work for God on that Saturday. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. The Holy Spirit can convict you all on his own. I'm just letting you know that even if you're out of town, you can join the prayer team. You still get the free shirt, by the way. And you can pray from another state or even for your lunch break that Saturday. There is no excuse. Every age and stage of life. If you got young kids, there's an anchor project for you. If you're a senior adult and you need to sit down in air conditioning, guess what? There's an anchor project for you. As I want to encourage you, join the many and let's get our feet moving. Let's bring peace into chaos. Can I get a good amen? Here's number two. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one. And so we've got to make sure we don't drag our feet. We don't stay out of the chaos. We get into the chaos and we bring peace. And then number two, God, I get so excited for this one. God is going to help so many in this service and the next to find your footing. And so the first one, it's what we do for others. The second practical application to the good news shoes is what God does for us. That you're going to leave today finding your footing, standing on solid ground. You know this. In fact, you probably even felt this throughout the beginning of the message, but it's great to talk about bringing peace to others. It gets us excited. We feel good about ourselves, but let's be honest. A lot of you are thinking, Pastor, that's great. I want to bring peace to others, but what about my peace? Let's be real, okay? I know it's Father's Day. I get it. We're going to get to some stuff here in just a little bit and get you on your way, but let's just be real in God's house. You're like, yeah, that's good. I'll bring peace to others. But what about my peace, Pastor? What about what's going on in my world? I just know it because I know a lot of what's going on in your world. The emails we have, the meetings that take place, the prayer times that we have, not just on a Sunday, but a lot throughout the week. Like, I get it. There's so many of you that you're in the middle of a spiritual battle. That's why you haven't missed one of the messages, because you're like, I need this now, Pastor. This ain't from six months. This is now. I need it now. And there's so many of you that because of the battle that's going on, the spiritual attack of the enemy, you're like, I don't have peace. I've got worry and I got stress and I got anxiety and I've got fear. Maybe for you, it feels like all hell is breaking loose in your world. Maybe, let's just be honest, maybe it even took a mini miracle for you to get here this Sunday. You're like, Pastor, if you only knew what was going on, if you only knew the threats that happened in the minivan as we got the kids loaded, if you only knew what I heard from my boss on Friday, and it's been sitting heavy in my heart all weekend long. I get it. There's so many of you that don't have your own peace. And if that's you, I do have good news for you. God is here. It's not something that I have for you. It's something that God has for you. He is here to help you get back on your feet and find your footing. He is peace, and he will pour out his peace upon you today. Well, I don't believe it, Pastor. I can cheer it for someone else, but I don't feel it in my life. And if that's you, I get it. I get it. And I even felt like the Lord led me this past week as I was preparing this sermon and studying not just Ephesians 6, but other places in the Bible. And I felt like God led me to Mark chapter 4. And I'm not going to read verses from it. I'm going to sum it up for you. You can turn there if you'd like to. The overachievers, you're already going. You're licking your fingers. And just, I get it. But Mark 4, that's what I'm reminded of, because I know there's people, again, you're like, I can bring peace to someone else, but what about my peace? You're in the middle of a battle. I'll say it to you this way. You feel like you're in the middle of the eye of the storm. And Mark 4 is a very familiar passage to church people. For non-church people, obviously, it's brand new. But Mark chapter 4, it's so powerful and it's so specific to what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual warfare, because it says this. I'll just give you a summation quickly. Love the story. But in Mark 4, Jesus, he gets into a boat with his disciples and he sends them over to the other side of the sea. And there's a couple of these different examples and storm stories in the Bible, but specifically I love Mark 4 because it says it this way, that as Jesus and his disciples get into the boat and as they begin to sail to the other side of the sea, the disciples stay on the top. I want you to have this image. They stay on the top of the boat, and then Jesus goes to the bottom of the boat and he takes a nap. And so I want you to picture this in your mind. The disciples are working and struggling and striving to walk in obedience, not disobedience, obedience to what Jesus has said. And Jesus is like, you got this, boys. He goes into the bottom of the boat. And I love this detail in Mark 4. It says that he got a pillow. I love that. Jesus grabs his memory foam pillow, you know, and he goes to the bottom. Y'all know you got your favorite pillow, right? Like Jesus, he grabs his pillow and he goes to the bottom of the boat and the waves just gently rock him to sleep. It's like that Sunday afternoon kind of nap. Isabel, the naps we had before kids. Do you remember those glorious naps? If you don't have young kids and like you nap all the time, like I am jealous. I shouldn't be jealous. Like, Lord, forgive me, but just don't take it for granted. It's precious. So Jesus is there. We're laughing, but like it kind of hurts a little bit because, yeah, those are great. Some of y'all are going to take a good nap today in Jesus' name. So Jesus is there. The bottom of the boat. The disciples are working. Again, the picture, the dichotomy here, the two sides of the coin. They're working. They're striving at the top. Jesus is sleeping on his pillow in the bottom. And then the Bible says this in Mark 4, that all of a sudden a storm hits the boat. And this would happen a lot in this different sea, this waters here, that suddenly a storm would come. And how many of y'all know that will preach right there, because that's what happens in your life, right? It's not a gradual thing. There's not somebody giving a forecast. Like you just know, oh, a week from now it's going. No, it's instant, right? It's a bad kind of suddenly. And that's what happens. And scholars, theologians think it could have been even like 10 feet high swells. It was crazy. So they're there. Again, the picture. Jesus is still sleeping good. It's like when you fall asleep before a storm, sometimes the storm kind of helps you stay asleep, you know, as an adult, not as a kid, but as an adult. And the disciples are on top. They're struggling. They're striving. And the Bible says that they begin to take on water. How many of y'all know, like, it's good for the boat to be in the water. It's not good for the water to be in the boat. And so they start freaking out. Kind of what we do when we face a storm or a battle. Let's be real. They start freaking out. They're panicking. But there's Jesus in the bottom of the boat sleeping, taking that good Sunday afternoon nap. And so they run down there. Well, I don't know if you run. They walk down the steps there and they start shaking Jesus. You can read it for yourself. And they're like, Jesus. Like, excuse me, JC, wake up. You know, just come on. Like, wake up. Like, snap to it. And they start whining and complaining about the storm. I won't speak for you, but that sounds like me. You don't have to amen me. I can be the only one that God's working on. That's cool. But that sounds like me. You know, why'd this happen? Some of y'all feel like God is sleeping on your storm. Do you not care about my marriage? Do you not care about my kids? So they're mad at Jesus. They wake him up. And I love this, the details. In Mark 4, you see that Jesus doesn't answer their question, why aren't you helping? Do you care? He doesn't even address their complaining. He wakes up and he goes to the top of the boat. And that will preach right there, because he won't always answer our questions. We can ask him, of course. He's big enough to handle even your biggest question. But Jesus, he wakes up. He doesn't address them. He goes up to the top of the boat. And a lot of you know this story. He looks out on the storm. And what's he say? Peace, be still. And he brings the storm into alignment with his countenance. He was at peace in the storm. And now he brings the storm to peace. And here's what a lot of preachers miss, and I've missed it before too. But there were actually two storms that day. There was the storm on the outside and also the storm within the disciples. And when he spoke, peace, be still, both storms were calmed. When Jesus gets involved, situations change. And you need to know this. That story in Mark 4, it is not a cute fairy tale story to make you feel better about your jacked up life. That story really happened. It's history. It literally, not just figurative, it literally took place. And it should give you confidence today that even if you're in the middle of a sudden storm or a sudden battle and you're freaking out and you know you're panicking, you got to remember, I've taught you this before, Jesus is not panicking. Remember the image, right? They're frustrated at God. They're working hard. They see, they're taking on water. They are stressed out their mind. Where's Jesus? He's sleeping in the middle of the storm. He's not pacing back and forth. You know, what am I? I got him into this mess. Remember, it was his idea. Jesus' idea to get in the water. He's not like, oh my me. I don't know what to do. You know, I can't. That's not him. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. And if he can be that way, guess what? So can you and I. I'll close with this. I just came across this recently. It's so profound. That even in chaos, we can have peace. I'm reminded, came across, I think it was this last week, but it was a long time ago, and there was two painters that were commissioned to paint a scene of peace. I want you to even think right now, like, what would that look like for you? Peace in your life. And they were commissioned to paint this scene, something that represented peace. And the first painter painted what you would think, maybe what you're imagining now. They painted this, calm waters, bright sun shining day kind of deal. Had a shepherd leading a sheep beside, you know, kind of what you would imagine, just peaceful, serene, tranquil. That was the first painter. And then you have the second painter. Same commissioning, paint peace. The second painter painted something very different. They painted a fierce storm, torrential rain, hurricane waters, lightning shooting across the night sky. Something you would never imagine. But in the corner of the painting, I love this, they painted a little bird resting on a rock, singing with notes coming out of its mouth. And in the other corner, there was a sliver of light shining through the night sky, shining through the storm upon this bird that was singing. And the painter declared, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, this is what real peace looks like. You see, check this out. The most important thing I'll say all day, real peace doesn't take place when nothing's wrong. I feel the Holy Spirit right now. Real peace takes place when everything is wrong and yet you're still singing. You're not going to find that on a Disney movie or in a Hallmark card, but that's what real lasting peace is. When everything's wrong, all hell is breaking loose, and yet you can still sing because you know your God is with you. And that in a moment, He can speak peace over the storm around you and also the storm within you. That's the shoes that God has called you and I to wear. The shoes of peace. You better believe we make peace, we bring peace into chaos, but you can also have your own peace. Everything's wrong. All hell is breaking loose. What did Paul say? If you still got Ephesians 6 open, what does he say? And we've read it so many times, but we can miss it. What does he say about peace? Because remember, he's talking about the armor, peace shoes that we put on, the good news shoes. What's he say? He says this, when the evil day comes. So he doesn't say when you have all the money in the bank and you get to go on an amazing vacation that you've always dreamed of. He doesn't say when you have that miracle baby finally, or when you find your spouse, the woman or man of your dreams, or when you get that raise, or you make an A on that term paper. He doesn't say, no. He says, when the evil day comes, that you can have peace. That when there's an attack on your marriage, you can still have peace. Then when there's attack on your kids, attack on your health, whatever it is, make it personal, that you can still have peace. Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, says that when that day comes, even in the middle of the eye of the storm, when the spiritual battle is raging, even in that moment, you can have peace. I've taught you this before. Peace is not situational. It's not circumstantial. It's relational. Peace is a person. His name is Jesus. What's one of his names? The Prince of Peace. It's not something we just talk about at, Christmas time. He is the Prince of Peace yesterday, today, and forever. It's who he is. And so if you feel like, man, I'm frantic and I'm panicked, you just need to draw close to Jesus because he's not panicked. In fact, he may even be napping a little bit. He's like, it's going to be okay. I'll step in the right moment. I'll step in the right time. And he's going to bring peace to the storm around you and also the storm within you. Amen, church? Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. Jesus, I pray that we would stop pursuing this fake, fictitious form of peace. Thinking that when everything's perfect, then I'll finally have peace. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And we've learned in this series that the devil is a liar. It's who he is. It's his native language. It's the only language he knows how to speak is lies. There's no truth in him. And so like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we wrap the belt of truth on us. We hold to what your word says, that even when the evil day comes, we can have peace. We can make peace for others and we can have peace ourselves. And so I pray for those that they don't feel like they have firm footing. There's chaos around them. There's anxiety, there's worry. I pray all of that would go in Jesus' name. And I step into the authority you've given me, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a disciple of yours, Jesus. And I step into that authority and I proclaim prophetically the storm around them and also the storm within them, that peace be still. Would you open up your heart right now? Peace be still in Jesus' name. May the storm come into a right alignment with your countenance, Lord. And I pray, God, that they would no longer be scared of the wind and waves because you control the wind and the waves. You have power, you have authority, and if they're with you, there's no safer place they could be. And I pray, God, that peace, I even feel it now, sense it in my spirit. I pray peace would rise up. We got men and women all throughout this house, this church. Men and women that are facing cancer and infertility and struggles at home and marriage and struggles with kids. We got men and women, their life is not perfect, but yet they have peace because they know the shoes they're called to put on. And they have to put them on every day. The armor does us no good staying in the closet collecting dust. We got to put it on. Help us to find firm footing. We're going to leave with joy unspeakable here in just a moment. Not because of a service or a sermon, but because of your truth and your word. That we can have peace now. That we can still sing even in the middle of the storm. And I pray, God, for those that, and there's not many, but there's more people than not in this church that are serving. But still, I know there's some that maybe they're dragging their feet a little bit and they're waiting for everything to be perfect. Or maybe they got some past church hurts and I don't know what the situation is, and maybe it's just busyness, whatever, but I pray, God, that you would add to our number of men and women that don't just spectate, but they participate. They don't drag their feet. That, yeah, they put on their armor, but they use their armor. That they walk into situations, not just serve day, of course, but other areas in the church where they can bring peace into troubled situations, bring the good news, but not just that, even Monday through Saturday in their family. And I just feel this, Lord, you convicted some people earlier when I talked about that because they've been keeping out of something. There's some chaos in the family, work, whatever the situation is. There's some chaos and they've been staying out of it. Or maybe they've just been trying to keep the peace. But I pray, God and Holy Spirit, you're directing them right now. You're highlighting whatever that is. But I pray, God, you would empower them, enable them. And I know you've equipped them, God, to not keep peace or not stay out of it, but to get in the middle of it and make peace. And as they are obedient to you, they're going to be blessed, as you said, Jesus. And that's not just financial. We get that so backwards in America. It can be financial, of course, but there's so many other ways you can bless us. I pray, God, that we get in the middle of it and that the situation would get better and not worse, not really because of them, but just because of their obedience to you and you working in them. And I pray that lots of situations would come to peace because they got involved. And God, I pray lastly, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray this all the time because I believe it, but God, I thank you for calendar days like this, Father's Day, because it's so easy for us to remember, hey, that was the day that my life was changed. It's something we'll remember every year and almost becomes a new anniversary that we celebrate. Man, that was the day that I committed my life to Jesus, or that was the day that I recommitted and I stuck it out. And even when I fell down, I got back up with the Holy Spirit's strength and kept moving forward. So I pray that today would be that day. Maybe it's somebody in the room. Maybe it's somebody online. I pray today would be your day that you surrender your life to Jesus. And here's how you do that. Eyes closed, please, if you can. Romans chapter 10. Romans is another book in the Bible. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's how you do it. You confess and you believe. And so you can whisper to Jesus right now. I'll coach you on what you can say. You say this: Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. I confess you are God. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And I ask you, it's the most important question you'll ever ask him. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to make me new, to clean me up from the inside out. I make you my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for those that are confessing and putting their belief in you for the first time or maybe first time in a long time. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.